Thank you sa lahat. Okay. Good morning. It's a great honor and a privilege for me to be here, me and my wife and my daughter. It's been 9 years since we last came here. Wala pa kaming baby that time. We visited Pastor Donnie and of course, Pastor Archie was here. Hindi ka pa pastor that time, no? Hindi pa rin sila double that time. But just seeing what God has done through the church in all these years is a great encouragement to us. Of course, being with Pastor Archie and Rian has always been inspiring. As young as they are, they're one of our finest leaders in the movement. You know, their passion, their zeal for God, the wisdom that God has given them, the depth of their, not just knowledge, but their faith and their experience in God has always been encouraging and inspiring to us. Actually, we know that they're both from Zamboanga, and we're wondering if they're going to go back to Zamboanga, but God had other plans for him. And let me just tell this church, I believe God is going to use this church not just to impact this city and neighboring cities and neighboring islands, but God is going to use you to impact nations. God has a great destiny for this church. I feel it. A lot of you guys here are not going to be here 5 to 10 years from now, not because you backslid or not because you are somewhere in the world, but you are going to be out there doing the will of God, accomplishing great things for His kingdom and for His glory. So I'm excited for you guys. Can you give each other a big round of applause and say, I'm excited for you. All right. Yeah, Pastor Archie introduced my family. This is my family. Okay, that's not my eldest and my youngest. That's my wife, Raya, and my daughter, Rania. We've been married for 12 years, and we had our baby on our 9th year. So she's a miracle baby for us and great blessing. And I thought I'm going to be single forever because I graduated with the nuns elementary, graduated with the Jesuits high school. So I thought I'll become a priest. But God had other plans. I attended college with the communists. So I ended up questioning why I believe the things that I believe. And I ended up becoming a Christian second year college. And praise God, God changed my heart. And I met my wife. And, you know, now I have a family. They're one of the greatest testimonies of God's goodness, greatest reminder of God's faithfulness in my life. They've always been a blessing. And kaya pala totoo yung sinasabi na yung mga asawa pala, they're the better half. Okay, so, because they're better than us and they make us better as well. So, thank you, Spice. Ang tawag kasi namin Spice, okay? But anyways, sige. We are in the series entitled All and Nothing. Pastor Archie started last Sunday with the introduction. I'm so blessed. I listened to it several times just coming here and just so blessed with the preaching of Pastor Archie. So that was week one, the introduction. Today, we're going to continue by talking about the supremacy of Christ. Next Sunday, the fullness in Christ. Week four, we're going to have position in Christ. And then followed by living in Christ. And then week six, household for Christ. And week seven, mission in Christ. So talagang, this is going to be a jam-packed, Christ-packed series. And if you are here checking out Christianity, if you're here checking out who Christ really is, what Christianity really means, this is the best series for you. Okay? And if you've been a Christian all your life and you think you already know what Christianity is all about and who Christ is, this is the series for you. Okay? Because this will really help us know Jesus all the more. So let's turn our Bibles, Colossians chapter 1. This time we're going to read verse 15 to verse 23. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Please read out loud with me. Okay, it says here, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. For He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. We all know that this is a series on the book of Colossians, and Pastor Archie gave a very powerful introduction last Sunday, and we've learned that this is a letter of Paul to the church in Colossae. And the church in Colossae was actually not planted by Paul, but this is Paul being one of the apostolic leaders of the church writing to them concerning the issues that they were confronting at that time. So Paul was writing this from prison around the same time when he was writing to the church in Ephesus. So medyo malapit lang yon sa area. And when he was writing this, he was trying to highlight the supremacy of Christ by pointing them back to the gospel. And this is the verse 5 that we read from last Sunday's passage. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. So when Paul was writing this, he was encouraging the church for their faith and how they heard the gospel and they responded to the gospel. But in confronting the issues of the day, he was bringing them back to the word of truth, the gospel. And the gospel is actually a very simple message, but sometimes it's so simple, it offends us. That's why we want to twist it a bit, change it a bit, add a little here and there, subtract a little here and there to make us feel more comfortable and to make it more convenient for us. Because in its simplicity, it challenges our sinful and human nature. In a kind of like when the first pancake was introduced, sobrang galing ng pancake. Just add hot water, mix it, and then cook it, and then everything is there. But when they released that, nobody wanted to buy it. And when they tried to survey why, everybody was thinking, the response was, because it's too simple. I will just add hot water and cook it. So what they did, they tweaked something to make sure that people will buy it. And you know what's the tweaking that they used? You can add egg. So now when you make a pancake, you will just add egg before you mix it and cook it. And now people started buying. Because they feel like they had a contribution to what can be done. And the gospel is so offensive to many of us because we think it's too simple. That's it. I just have to believe it. It's just by grace through faith. But the word of truth, the gospel meaning good news, is not just basically a book about good advices. It's actually good news. It's not about what we can do or what we have to do. It's about what he already did. There's news. Something happened 2,000 plus years ago that we need to know, that we need to remember, that we need to appreciate, and we need to believe in. More than just about what we do or what we can do, it is the grace of God in truth. It's not just about how we treat God or how we are to treat each other. It's basically about how God treated us in spite of our unworthiness, in spite of us being undeserving of His goodness, of His faithfulness, and His mercy and His love. He is gracious towards us. And that is the emphasis of the gospel. And we need to be reminded from time to time, just like the church in Colossae, because they were thinking of adding other things to the gospel. Like how some Jewish believers ended up passing on the faith, but they are saying you have to be circumcised to be fully acceptable to God. Or you have the knowledge of the gospel, but you need to have this other secret knowledge and secret philosophies and secret understanding so that you can be on a higher spirituality and a higher relationship with God, a closer relationship with God. There were people who added other things. Para tayong mga Pilipino, di ba? We grew up in a Christian nation. Who among you here are raised up in the Philippines? You know, you grew up in a Christian family like me, religious family and all. We believe in Christ. We believe in the Bible. But along with that, we believe in other things that may not necessarily be of Christ, that may not necessarily be biblical. So as we talk about the supremacy of Christ, Paul is trying to remind us that the center of our faith, the front end and center of our faith is Christ Himself. Para ma-appreciate natin, di ba? It's a letter to the Colossian church, a church in Colossae. Okay, parang picture doon, Colossus. Okay, yung mga familiar sa superheroes, so Colossus. But Colossus literally means is the larger than life. And Paul was trying to point back the church that Christ is larger than life. He is bigger than what you think He is. What He did is so much bigger than what you think you already know. And He was trying to point them back to the gospel, pointing back to the supremacy of Christ. Now, when you hear the word supremacy, the state or condition of being superior to all powers in authority, power, or status. Superior to all others in authority, power, or status. So Paul was trying to point them back to the gospel basically of who Jesus is and what Christ has done for us. It all goes back to the gospel, to the truth, the grace of God revealed to us. And before we accept Christ as just one of the many other things that we could accept, Paul was trying to remind the Colossian church that Christ is supreme. He is above and superior all others in authority, in power, or status. He is not just one of the others that you could claim and be a part of your faith along with many other things. You know, kind of like the scenario of the modern church today. Hindi lang nung time nung church in Colossae, kasi we're surrounded with many faith. And that time, uso sa kanila yung polytheism. They believe in many gods. And these gods have different rankings. Familiar tayo, di ba, Greek and Roman mythology. Tapos may mga philosophers. Kilala niyo yung mga philosophers during the day. Di ba, si Aristotle, si Socrates, si Plato, tapos yung disciple niya, si Platito. Okay, yung mga ranking in terms of wisdom, ranking in terms of power. But Paul was trying to remind them that Christ is supreme, superior in all of that, in authority, power, or status. Now, this is quite interesting for Paul to do that because Paul, you all know his background, he was a Pharisee of the Jewish background. And they believe there is only one God. And above him, there is no other. And for him to believe that and be zealous of that, that any other religion is considered a threat. In his zealousness, he ended up persecuting and even killing Christians. But when he encountered the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, his life was radically changed. And he knew that the God that he used to know from the Old Testament is a God who has revealed himself in the New Testament as the Lord Jesus Christ. And for him to understand this and write this is such a big inspiration to those who have may have doubted your faith. Because like many of you, siguro, you know, we all grew up thinking we believe in Christ, but this is one of those many other things that we could believe in. And if there's one point I would like to point out today is this, because Christ is supreme in all things, He is sufficient in all things. Because Christ is supreme, meaning superior, above all power, authority, or status, then He is sufficient for all things. I want to explain this by breaking down in two statements. First, Christ is supreme in all things. He is superior above all things. This is what verse 15 says. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. The image here basically is a word that means a likeness, a representation, or a resemblance. So this is Paul trying to tell the church, the invisible God that you don't know, the God that created all things, the firstborn. Pag sinabing firstborn, hindi yung parang unang pinanganak or first of all creation, means first or foremost. In time, in place, in order, importance. This is Christ. The God that you don't see is the God who made Himself visible to us. The invisible God is a God who made Himself visible to us so that we can know Him, so that we can experience Him in a tangible way. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Everybody say all creation. So before creation happened, He was already there. The God that you don't see, the God that you were longing to see, the God that you want to know, you can know in Jesus and you can see in Jesus. Verse 16 tells us this, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him." This is Paul trying to explain to them that this Jesus is not just an ordinary man that you think He is. He is not just an ordinary miracle worker or teacher. He is the Creator who came into His creation. He said this, by Him, all things were made. In other words, He was the mover. He was the one who created from nothing and making them into something. And this is what some Gnostics and some smart people could not figure out. They say everything just came from a big bang. If you were to ask them, where did the bang start from? Where did the spark come from? Where did the fuel that was combustible started from? In the Bible, it's very clear that in the beginning, God, there was a big God, and when He said, let there be light, bang, creation happened. He is the God who created all things in heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, or rulers, or authorities. All things were made through Him. Everybody say through Him. He was not just the prime mover, He is also the primary means by which creation happened. He is the Word that created things into existence. By His Word, things were made. And He is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. In fact, some of the scientists today are still figuring this out. They're saying, how come the universe is still expanding to this day? It's like when this big explosion came, the universe continued to expand. Yeah, we all know from the Bible, when God said, let there be light, things happened. And as the sound waves of God's voice keep spreading throughout the universe keeps expanding and expanding and expanding. Because that's how powerful the voice and the Word of God is. And it's not just through Him. The Bible says, it's for Him. The motive of this creation was for His glory. The motive of this creation was for His plans and for His purposes. Things were not created by chance or just out of nothingness with no meaning and no purpose. God created things with a purpose. Look at your seatmate. May purpose yan. Okay, may meaning yan. Bakit na-create yan? Okay, hindi lang yan aksidente. You know, that used to be an amoeba swimming in a sea that became a monkey swinging in a tree and now a professor with a PhD. No, that guy, that girl was created with a purpose for Him. For Him, huh? Not for Him. For Him. He's the reason why we exist. This Jesus is more than just an ordinary teacher. He's more than just an ordinary miracle worker. They were surprised with His life. Why? Because even demons obey Him. Even demons are scared of Him. Not only that, He could walk on water. Not just make the liquid solid, He could make the winds and the waves, nature, obey Him by commanding them to be still. There's something about this Jesus that could heal a bleeding woman for how many years that medicine could not even cure. With just a simple touch, God could heal this woman. There's something extraordinary about this Jesus. He's the creator of all things. All things were created through Him and for Him. Verse 17 tells us, He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. When we hear the word before, it actually means superior, above all things. So this is Paul trying to make a case that Jesus is not just like an above all other teachers, all other religious leaders, all other prophets. He is above all things. If you look at the original Greek, because that's what the New Testament was written in the original Greek, you know what all means? Tanan. All. Kaya nga all and nothing. Kasi He is above all things. In other words, wala nang mas tataas pa sa Kanya. He is not just a lesser God. He is not just, you know, a God who is probably lesser than the Father. He is God Himself who came down here to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And in Him, all things hold together. You know, I like the word, all things hold together in Him. In other words, He is not just the source of all life, He is the sustainer of all life. The reason why our bodies are the way it is, it doesn't just spontaneously combust. It's because the Word of God is keeping us together. Because God said, let there be light, so there was light. And light continues to exist because His Word was keeping it together. The reason why you are born, because He's keeping you together. The reason why you're still alive, because He's keeping you together. The reason why you could still breathe for free, because He's keeping you together. The reason why your heart is still beating and you have no control over it. Can you try to make it skip a beat? No. You know why it's still working? Because God is keeping you together. In fact, even scientists are finding this a mystery because they know there are certain natural laws that exist. Opposite poles attract and same poles repel. And yet, when you look at the submolecular level, how come there's protons positive and electrons negative and neutrons coming together? And there's a space that keeps them together. The opposite poles are not always sticking together as close as we would imagine it to be. And the same poles necessarily repelling each other. Bakit yung iba, 1 electrons. Yung iba, 2 electrons. Yung iba, 3 electrons. Iba, 4 electrons. Do you remember the periodic elements? Diba? And how come they could not figure it out? They could just try to explain it. But you know what the Word of God? The Word of God explains. He's keeping it all together. It's because of Jesus. He holds all things together. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Meaning preeminent, to be first in rank or influence. And this is what Pastor Archie was saying last Sunday, that Christ should not just be prominent in our lives, He should be preeminent. Hindi parang, oh, I talk about Christ. People know that I'm a Christian, but is He really first in your life? Is He really the primary influence in your life? Or maybe He's just one of those things that we added. One of the options, one of the suggestions, one of the sub-points of our lives. Paul was trying to say this, making a case that Christ should be preeminent in everything. He is first. Why? Because He created us. By Him, through Him, and for Him. You know, if you look at Jesus and compare Him among other gods, there is truly none like Him. And I used to wonder about who Christ is and what Christ did in the past. Because people of many faiths have many gods and they say, it's just okay. It's just like all faiths will lead to one God. But Christianity sets itself apart from all other faith. Because Christianity is the only thing that tells us that it's not about how good you are, it's about how good He is. It's not about how great you are, it's about how great He is. It's not about what you can do for God, it's about what God did for you. And Christ sets Himself apart from other things. That's why it's basically incomplete to say that Christianity is just a form of religion. Because Christianity is more than just religion, it's about having a relationship with God. Religion can be spelled as D-O, do this, do that, and you'll go to heaven. Don't do this, don't do that, and you go to hell. But Christianity is D-O-N-E. It's been done. What we can never do for ourselves, live a sinless life, He already did. What we could never do for ourselves, pay the penalty for our sins, He already paid the price on the cross. And some would question, I used to wonder this, okay, if Christ is really so powerful, how come He died on the cross? And the more I think about it, you know what? That's how great Christ is. You know, all that Christ did to defeat the enemy was to die on the cross. You know, that was so foolish. Why would He even die on the cross? Well, yeah, it's so foolish that the devil thought He was killing the Savior to end all things. And if he only knew that the cross is actually the way to defeat Christ, he could have been the first one to say, "Don't kill Jesus." But the Bible says the foolishness of God is so much wiser than the wisdom of the world. You know, if they say Christ is such a weakling, how come He died on the cross? Well, that's exactly how powerful He is. You know how He destroyed the enemy? He just hanged on the cross and gave up His last breath. He didn't have to flex a muscle to prove that He's stronger than Satan and all his demons. He didn't have to come down and punch him. He just had to give His life away. And then the enemy was defeated. That's how powerful He is. His weakness is so much greater than the strength and the power of the world. He is supreme in all things. There is none greater than Him. That's why if you search through different faiths and different religion, and if you are a seeker, I've experienced that as well. I really wanted to make sure if I'm believing the right thing, if what I believe is really something worth dying for. And here's my conclusion. If Christ is not who he said he is, I'm willing to reject him. But I can never make that claim until I hear what Christ has to say for himself. I will not just listen to second, third-hand information. I want to go to the Word of God. But the more I know the Word of God, the more I know him, the more I convince that he is really who he said he is. That he is supreme in all things. And what's amazing about this is that not only that he is supreme in all things because of his heart and his character. You will never find another God in any religion. A God is so high and yet a God who is so humble, he is willing to come down to be with us. The God who is so great and yet a God who is so good, who's willing to sacrifice himself for us. He is supreme, not just in power, not just in wisdom, but also in his heart and in his love for us. That's why Christ is not just supreme in all things. He is sufficient in all things. In other words, if we have Christ, we have everything that we need. Kaya siya all and nothing. Hindi siya yung all or nothing, because when you have Jesus, you have all that you need and you don't have to add anything to what he did and to who he is. Verse 19 to 20, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. In other words, he came here for a purpose. And what purpose? To reconcile to himself all things. You know, God is so secure. He gave man the free will. If we would choose to love him and follow him or serve him. And we know that Adam and Eve missed it. Adam, the first man, missed it. And I think that puts us also in a very sober judgment. Kung si Adam nga na, who never saw sin before temptation came, never had a sinful nature, ended up committing it. Tayo pa kaya na who was born in a very sinful world. And yet, his failure affected all of us. Sabi nga nila, sana daw si Adam naging Chinese. Kasi kung Chinese siya, he would have eaten the serpent and sold the apple. Kung apple yung forbidden fruit. May kita pa. Okay. But because of Adam and Eve's sin, the world was separated from God. Man was separated from God. What was whole became broken in parts. What was pure became impure. What was according to the will of God became not according to the will of God. It's no longer good, it's no longer pleasing, no longer perfect. That's why God, instead of just settling with prophets, priests, angels, visions and dreams, to remove all the confusion of who God is and what God's will is for man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Not just to say that this is the truth, not just to say that this is the way, not just to say that this is the life, but to say, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one can come to the Father except through me. Because he wanted to reconcile us to himself, making peace by the blood of his cross. God wanted to remove that alienation. God wanted to remove that hostility between God and his creation. God wanted to bring us back to him. How? By the blood of his cross. And what he said on the cross, one of his last words, he said, it is finished, before he gave up his life. It is a word that means paid in full. In other words, what needs to be paid has been paid. Hindi siya down payment, hindi siya partial payment, it is a full payment. That's why we cannot add anything to what he did for us. We just have to receive it. That's why it's given for free, not because it's cheap. Kasi ngayon pag sinabi, oh, free na lang, add on, cheap kasi walang gustong bumili noon, kaya sinasama na lang. Okay, but it's so expensive that none of us can actually pay it, not even with our very own lives.
But Christ paid it in full, so we can have it for free by His grace. Verse 21, you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you. So He came to reconcile to Himself. But now He was telling the Colossian church, because you believe it, now it's been reconciled. Because the price has been paid. Now reconciliation has happened. Present us holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. Holy meaning pure. What was impure can be made pure again. What was broken in pieces can be made whole again. Blameless, so that there's nothing that can be accused or nothing that can be pinpointed against you. Anything that is of disapproval or disappointment. Now in Christ, you become acceptable. You and I become acceptable because of what He did. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast. And again, here He is reminding, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's why Paul was willing to risk his life preaching the gospel, because he understood the supremacy of Christ and how the supremacy of Christ guarantees the sufficiency of Christ. Christ is supreme in all things, and He is sufficient in all things. There was a person who approached a minister and said, you know, I'm not comfortable with you always talking about Jesus' death, because it makes me feel so bad for the sins that I've done. Why don't you just preach and talk about Jesus being a very good example? So the minister obliged. Okay, if I will tell that Jesus is a very good example and you need to follow Him, will you just accept that? So the man said, okay, I'll accept that. All right, Jesus committed no sin. Can you follow His example? So he said, no. In fact, I sin all the time. So then what you need is not an example. What you need is a Savior. Jesus could have lived longer feeding the hungry. Jesus could have lived longer teaching more people. Jesus could have lived longer to, you know, heal the sick and raise the dead. But He died at a very young age, at God's appointed time, because He is more than a teacher, more than a good moral person, more than a miracle worker. He came to be the Savior. And His life, His death, and resurrection proves that He is supreme. You can't find any other religious leader who can prophesy their own death and resurrection and actually fulfill it. He is the only one standing. You know, we needed a Savior. If somebody is drowning in the middle of a pool, you don't need a teacher coming to you, this is how you swim. You don't need a prophet telling you, I know what's going to happen to you in the next few minutes. Water will fill your lungs and you'll die. You don't need someone who can perform a miracle. Look, I can turn the water to wine if you like. What you need is someone who will dive into that situation to rescue you. And that's what Jesus did for us. And if there's at the fork of the road, each road, there's a religious leader standing there. Each one telling you, this is the way, this is the truth, this is the life. At the end of one option, there's this Jesus standing. And take note, He's the only one alive. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And to prove to you that I am who I say I am, I'm going to die on the cross, and after 3 days, I will rise again. And that's why when Paul experienced the risen Christ on the road to Damascus trying to kill Christians, he heard the voice of God that blinded him, the invisible God that no one could see and still live. He was blinded, and the voice of God was speaking to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He asked, Lord, who are you? Why are you saying that I'm persecuting you? I'm zealous for you. I'm following you. I'm serving you. And the voice of God says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And he realized that because he was persecuting Christians, he was actually going the head of the church, Christ himself. And that's when his journey started, not just of being a religious person, but a person having a relationship with God. And my challenge for all of us today is, you may have believed that you are a Christian all your life, but the question is Christ really sufficient for you? Kasi minsan tayo ganun eh. I believe in Christ, but this is one of the other things. I believe God can save me from hell, but we trust other things when it comes to saving us from our financial troubles, saving us from our sickness and disease, saving us from relational dysfunctions. If Christ can save us from hell, He can save us from anything. We believe, yes, Christ is supreme in all things, but when we have a sickness or this, anong ginagawa natin? Punta tayo sa albularyo. Punta tayo sa mga mambabarang. Magpaaso, magpadahon-dahon. Is Christ really sufficient in your life? If Christ is preeminent in your life, you believe that He is your great provider. He gave His one and only Son for you and me while we are at our worst. How can we withhold all things? But when it comes to financial troubles, what do? We resort to other things. Lagay tayo ng palakang may coin para swerte. Lagay tayo ng pusang hip-hop para hindi tayo malasin. Diba? And we trust other things instead of trusting in Christ. Christ is supreme in all things. But the challenge is He sufficient for you in all things? God created something out of nothing. And until we realize we're nothing apart from Him, we will never realize our need of Him. You know what? If Christ is not enough for you, if Christ cannot save you, nothing and no one else will be enough for you. Nothing and no one else will be able to save you. But praise God, our hopes are not in vain. Because Jesus is who He said He is. He is supreme in all things and sufficient in all things.